praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Amen. We praise you, Father. How good is our Father, worthy of all praise. God, the only reason we know you is through Jesus Christ, who came on our behalf. And he took our sin, the wrath that was deserved for us. Christ, you took it all. And God, now we approach your throne boldly to receive mercy and find grace. May we never stop singing, you are holy, holy, holy forever. You are worthy of our praise, God. Be lifted high in this place, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may take a seat this morning. I want to tell you where we're going this morning before I do a few things before we get there. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Open your Bibles up to Psalm 106. That's where we'll be this morning. I'm Mitch Green. Thank you, Alec, for the introduction. Again, just so thankful as I'm sitting over there watching this morning. We have now spent a year with Redeemer Bible Church, and we have been so blessed to be with you all. A year ago this week, our son was struggling to breathe in the middle of the night, and we found ourselves heading to the hospital where his oxygen levels were about 88%. And the way that this church that barely knew us came around us in prayer, every single staff member, I kid you not, I don't say that lightly, every single staff member reached out to us that week, checked in on us, sent gifts, and they didn't even know us. We had just announced a week prior that we were going to be coming on staff for a year to do the work to plant and send Bible Church. And so I'm so thankful for you all. The Lord is doing amazing things in us as we work to plant Ascend. If I could ask you transparently to join us in prayer this morning, we are still looking for where are we going to launch this church in Perry Township. We feel like we have all we need. We have all the measurables, the people, the internal funding, this people serving, the leadership roles, it's all there, and yet here we still find ourselves in a place where we're trusting the Lord to say, where do you want this church to physically meet on Sunday mornings? And so join us in prayer for that, please. I also want to invite you, if you're someone that you're in this church and you don't know what we're doing with Ascend, maybe this is the first time you've heard from me. It's been a while since I've been up here. We just had a baby. Thank you. But again, maybe this is the first time you're hearing from me. We are, Lord willing, this year planting a new Bible-preaching, gospel-centered, Jesus-glorifying church in Perry Township. There are 116,000 residents in Perry, and we believe that even if you throw your best number out there, there's many people that are in desperate need for the love and hope of Jesus Christ. And so this next Sunday, at Doxa Bible Church, we're hosting a vision meeting. So if you're interested, you want an update, maybe you live in Perry, you want to figure out how to get involved, maybe you're a part of Redeemer and you just want to help us do this work, join us at Doxa. It's after second service and you'll learn more about what we are doing, how you can get involved in the work of Ascend Bible Church as we hopefully plant it, Lord willing, this year. All right, so we're in this series, The Godness of God. where we're exploring different character attributes about who God is. And there's this quote that you've heard thrown out many times. It's because it's a great quote. I would say it probably ranks up there with like the preacher's favorite quote. And even Pastor Brock, he was preaching at another church last week, and he used this same quote, which he had already used one time in this series, and DJ had used this very same quote in another message in this series. All right, with no further ado, the quote is this: what comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Before we get to our text this morning, I want to kind of set up this backdrop of how we're looking at this text, and we're going to be exploring the goodness of God, but I want us to just back up and ask ourselves the question, how do we know God's character? Just for those who have been with us, how many of us have been here all year? Many of us. It should be most of us in the room. We've been here for the whole year. Not every Sunday, but we've been a part of this church for the past year. I can say that for the first time. This past year, we've been in an entire year focusing in on God, trying to grow our view of who God is. There's a Christian rapper who says, you know, as you expand the object of your faith, so your faith will grow. So we've done things. We dove into the book of Exodus. We dove into the Gospel of John. We did a series on the Holy Spirit. Now here we sit looking at these character attributes of God, and we're still asking ourselves again, we need to know more about who God is, but how do we do that? Should be a simple question. And we love the quote, right? It's the most important thing that comes to your mind when you think about God or think about yourself. It's what you think about God. We love that. But how do we actually know God? Well, first, God and his word directly reveals his character to us. It's what we've seen. That there are times throughout the Bible where God just flat out says, this is who I am. This is who I am. Now you have the opportunity to respond to that. God just with his mouth will literally declare to his people throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, this is who I am. I am the Lord your God. This is what I'm like. But then secondly, we see God as the unfolding narrative of Scripture happens. We see his actions. So again, there's this divine revelation, God literally telling us things about himself. How incredible is that? Just back up for a moment and let's think about that. Us, the created being, has the opportunity to read God literally telling us what he is like. And then secondly, we see throughout Scripture, as the story unfolds, we see God engage with his people and we give an ever greater taste of his character. So God reveals who he is through his word, and then sometimes we get this backwards. We then have the opportunity to experience the character of God in our lives. Not the other way around. This is where it gets dangerous, right? I mean, we see this. Again, many of us, we can do this at times. We can so build a God that is based off of the God that we think we need or the God that we think we like, or the God that we think we want, rather than God as he reveals himself in the Bible. A French philosopher Voltaire got a lot of things wrong, but I do love this quote that he says. He says, in the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man has been trying to repay the favor ever since. Again, this is what we do. We can make a God that's more like us than the God of the Bible. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we really, really know us, we don't want a God like that. We want the God as he reveals himself in the Scripture. Again, this is just a backdrop before we get to the text. These are some of the things we've been exploring all year. I want to give it to you another way. I was thinking about this last night. I was driving around, and it was starting to get darker, and the concept of light pollution. Again, if we have any scientists out there, I really hope, like, I don't get this wrong, but I'm going to do my best here. As far as I understand it, the way that light pollution works, when you live in the suburbs or you live in a city, it is a lot harder to see what at night? The stars. But see, when we go out into nature and there's no light pollution and we're in total darkness, the stars become more visible. It's not as if the stars aren't there. They're always there. But see, the light that we've created prevents us from seeing the stars, which are always on display. Such is the way when we put things on God. God reveals himself clearly. He displays his actions through his word. And then yet, we so often turn on the lights, we create other aspects to God, and we miss it. Church, this is why it's so important. This is why for an entire year we've said, let's take a look at who God is. So again, the Bible not only reveals who God is, but the Bible also lets us know that the character of God is never going to change. Brock touched on this briefly a few weeks ago, this idea that the character of God is immutable. What does immutability mean? Theological word. Well, it's unchanging over time, meaning that once something is set, it's constant. It will never, ever change. And in fact, it's unable to be changed. So not only will it not change, it cannot be changed. Thus is the character of God. Again, we get this directly from God's mouth himself. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Israel, are not consumed. I, the Lord, do not change." Numbers 23:19, "God is not man that he should lie, or is a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" So not only does God reveal his character to us, we sit here today with the hope and promise that the character of God will never change. So God makes it clear through his word who he is, then we have the assurance that he's not going to change. Again, this is just a backdrop for our text, but I want us to see this as we're looking at the word of God. If every single person stood up, you walked up here this morning, and we tried to move this stage, we couldn't do it. Now, I checked. You know how I know? It's concrete underneath here. I made sure that was true for those of you that are, you know, questioning me out there. We literally could not move the stage. This is how we have to think about the character of God. Because when the situations come up in our life, the hardships, the pains, the job losses, the death that makes zero sense to our mind, we don't look at our experience and then view God through it. Rather, we look to God's word and we say, "God, here's who you are," and we trust you in the midst of our circumstance. So again, what have we looked at? We've looked at the love of God, rock solid as the stage you see before you, even more rock solid than that, obviously. God's sovereignty. There's nothing that slips through the cracks of God's hand. He is in total control. God's majesty. Man, is he worthy of praise. His holiness. God will never become less holy than he's always been, and his grace is constantly poured out for us. Now, to this morning, God's goodness. Now, I want us to see this morning more as a celebration because, you know, God's goodness is kind of the culmination of all of these things. So God is good. Again, this leads us into our big idea this morning, which really comes directly from the text, is that give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So here's what we'll do. We'll look at the text. We'll observe God's goodness as he puts it on display for us, as he does with all his character attributes. And then we'll have the opportunity to respond. So let's pray. God, we are in desperate, desperate need of you this morning. And God, as prayed so many times from this pulpit, let your preacher hide behind your word. God, it is what we have. It is the great revelation of yourself. And God, may we be a people that we anchor ourselves to your word. That we don't make up a God that is like us rather than a God that's revealed himself to us clearly. How shameful is that, Lord? So God, in these next however so many minutes we have this morning, we're going to be looking directly at your word, looking at who you say you are, God. Let us all look with eyes open, with clarity, distraction set aside. God, let us revel in who you are. Let us celebrate how you've revealed yourself to us. And then God, may we respond as you have called us to. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 106, verse 1 says this, through verse 6 this morning. Praise the Lord. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Again, this is the word of God for the people of God. As we look at this text this morning, again, there's going to be two things that we're doing. We are observing God's goodness, and then we have the opportunity to respond. So observing the goodness of God. Well, the first three verses put it like this. It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For what? His steadfast love endures forever. For his mighty deeds, or who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness for all time. So what does this text reveal about the goodness of God? Well, first off, his steadfast love endures forever. And then secondly, that the Lord has done mighty deeds. And then third, his justice is on display in such a way that it can be observed and lived out in our own lives. Again, this is how we're going to kind of cover this text this morning. So there's this historical display of God's love. Again, scripture, historical events that happened, that took place, that unfolded, not just some mythical book, but literal events that took place. Again, his steadfast love endures, the historical display of that. Then there's this cosmic reality. I mean, that God in his character, he's so good that there's implications of that that have taken place throughout the entire universe. And then third, filtered in the appropriate order, is our personal experience of God's goodness. So historical display, God's enduring love. Again, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord? You can think about it from the garden. So often a story that when we look through our own eyes, we miss the goodness of God in it. God creates mankind. He dwells with mankind in the garden. He throws out one tree and says, in all the trees in the garden, there's this one that is on display to really show who I am, and you cannot eat of it. And yet we so often look at that and we go, is God good? Why would he do that? But yet we miss that his goodness is on display throughout the entire creation narrative. Then what do we see in the covenants? Again, God constantly coming to mankind, making a deal for redemption. Mankind over and over again, not holding up their end of the deal. And yet, what does God do? He continues to hold up his end of the deal. Why? Because his steadfast love endures forever. Again, we see this as we looked at the unfolding narrative of Exodus. God says who he is, and when God says he's going to deliver his people, he does deliver them. Doesn't matter if two chapters later, you know, they avoid him. Or they, you know, he tells them to worship one way and then they literally do the exact opposite. The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. We can fast forward all the way to Jesus Christ, who dies the unjust death. Why? Because God's love endures forever. How can we not look at this and believe that we worship a good God? Again, this is what humankind's always been doing, filtering everything through our own experiences and yet missing the front of goodness and love that God is constantly putting on display. Throughout all of Scriptures, God's love is steadfast. We can't even utter the mighty deeds of the Lord, the text says. Second, though, there's this cosmic reality. This is, you know, his mighty deeds and justice observed. This is what verse 3 says. It says, blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness for all times. Let's give a simple definition of justice this morning. What is justice? Just think about it for a second. It's to be made right. God is at work in making all things right. Talk about a gospel message for our time. You know, honestly, this is how we came up upon the name of Ascend. And as we thought about bringing the gospel to a new community, we knew the reality is that in our world that we spend most of our time looking at all the problems that we face and all the things around us and all the things that we do. And what are we called to as Christians? We're called to ascend to something higher, to look to God. When we find ourselves in tough circumstances, we don't think about those, but we look to God, we see who he is, and then we filter our circumstance through that. Here is the reality of the justice that God is at work in doing. Pain, sickness, disease, strife, war, death, no more. God's goodness will lead one day to the redemption of all things. It's as if the character of God is so good that when God pours himself out on creation, it will one day overwhelm the bad. Revelation 21, 1 through 5 says it this way, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. And I heard the loud voice from the throne saying this, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." And look what happens when God is dwelling with his people. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. The goodness of God, we have the hope of Scripture, is being so poured out on us in this universe that one day it'll overwhelm the bad, that the pain you're experiencing will be no more. Praise be to God because he is good. Then thirdly, we have the opportunity to personally experience God. The text does address this. Again, it says, blessed are they who observe justice. To observe something is to see it as it's taking place. Again, we all have the opportunity to observe God in his character. Blessed are we for being able to do that. So God, again, first we get to observe the goodness of God in his word. Then again, we get to observe God and his character being poured out in the universe in such a way that we can literally see it happening as we go throughout life. And then third, we get to see and experience God personally in our lives. How have you observed the goodness of God? Again, his goodness is not defined by our experience, but we can't help but see the goodness played out in our everyday life. Again, think about it this way. God is your creator. Literally, we're breathing now in these moments, held up by the goodness of God. God is your sustainer. Again, how often do we put our hope and trust in things outside of God? But yet God is at work and constantly sustaining us. God is our great provider. Yes, we work hard. But again, God is at work in all that we do. And his goodness will never change. So I want to recap here for a moment before we transition into the second half of this message this morning. So again, the historical display of God, his character, is in his word. There's then this cosmic reality of how it impacts all things. And then there's this personal experience, which then leads us to have the opportunity to sit in the chairs where we're at today and respond to that. I want to illustrate it this way. Am I holding a Bible up in my hands? Yes. All right, yeah, head nod for me, people. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, you observed me holding a Bible in my hands. Now, you have the opportunity, you could walk away, and you could, you know, live never changed by me holding the Bible in my hands. It's not that dramatic, but, you know, it could not change you. You could have the opportunity and someone could ask you, you know, hey, was the pastor this morning, did he hold a Bible up in his hands and ask you to say yes or no and shake your head? And some of you, did you shake your head? Some of you would say yes, some of you would say no. But again, you'd have the opportunity to do that. You could lie about it. You could leave and go, that definitely never happened. See, thus, this is the opportunity we have this morning when we think about the character of God. We can look, we can observe, we can read, we can learn, we can discuss, we can grow in our knowledge of who God is, and we can do what? We can walk away unchanged. We can walk away and deny it. That didn't happen. We can walk away and literally do the opposite of God wants, but still say that we believe in him. Or we can walk away and be forever changed by the goodness of God on display throughout his word. Again, we see this response even in the text. This is what verse 4 says. It says, "Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sins. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness." Again, there's these two responses. We can respond to God in thanks, or we can respond to God in ignorance. Again, if you read the rest of this psalm, which we do not have time for this morning, what you will see is a story of God pouring his goodness out, and his people continually missing and not observing what God is doing. This is an option that we have. It's not the best one, but it's so often the option that we take, is that we respond in ignorance to the goodness of God. We act as if it never happened. Or we see it, we deny it. We see it, we actively choose to live against what a good God has called us to do. This is a response of ignorance. But what the text lays out for us is, what does a response of thanks look like? And it begins like this: remember me, O Lord. A cry out to God to see him, to see us as his chosen ones. What does the second line of this part say? Help me. What does it look like to be a people that every single day we wake up and we say, God, help me. I desperately need it. You are a good God. You pour out goodness on your people. Help me, Lord, not just in the times of desperation, but every single day when I wake up. Help me, Lord, so that, why, as the text continues, that I may rejoice and display your glory. Again, God is so good. He's pouring himself out on all of creation, and yet he's giving his people the opportunity to respond and live in such a way that their lives are forever changed. If you are in Christ, your relationship to God has shifted, not from mere observer, but to one who is responding and constantly living out the goodness of God in their own life. You've received your inheritance, as the text says, as God's chosen ones. The goodness of God pours out to you. Now, if you're sitting in the room this morning, and in a room this size, that's always the case, there's going to be some of us in here that we've not yet came to that place. Let me just say this to you. The goodness of God is clear in his scripture. We've spent a year in it. You've observed it. Now is the time to take the opportunity to respond. What does a response to the goodness of God look like? Well, Romans 10 says it like this: because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Simply put, God's goodness, his love, his character, it's steadfast, it endures forever, it has constantly been poured out on creation. This is the narrative that Scripture is laying out. It's not about us, it's about a good, big God. And yet, God in his goodness gives us the opportunity to simply respond. So again, where do you sit? The band's going to come back out here this morning. And again, I want us to see the last portion of this morning simply as a celebration. Again, reflecting on the historical display of God's goodness, reflecting on the cosmic reality of this, how big God's goodness is as it's poured out on us. And then thirdly, how have you experienced the goodness of God poured out in your own life? Again, for those of us in Christ, see this as a time to thank God for who he is. For those of us outside of Christ, this is your opportunity to call out to him. Say, God, remember me, O Lord. When you show favor to your people, help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation. Give people the joy of the Lord this morning. God's goodness is poured out. It's on display. May we be a people who respond. And for those of us who have been living and walking with Christ for a long time, let us pray to him in such a way that we're actually thankful for what he's done. Not passively. Not as if we're living unchanged. Not as if he gets a couple hours of our week, but we live in response to the goodness of God so poured out on us that we can't help but to live ever changed. That it really should become the mission in the center of each of our lives. To not only see and observe God's character, but to display it to the entire world. That is the goodness of God poured out on us, that we may display it to others, because we can't help but to do anything but that. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to create space in this prayer where you can thank God for what he's done, and then we're going to continue in worship this morning. And go ahead and stand with me if you're willing and able as we pray. God, we are a people that so often our eyes can just be distracted and move to things that are outside of you, to things that pull our attention away from you. And God, here now as we close out this service and we sing one more song, God, we want to gaze upon your goodness, Lord. God, we want to be a people that thank you for your steadfast love as it's displayed itself throughout all of Scripture, that God, you have been on a constant mission to restore your relationship with mankind, even in such a way that you were willing to give up of your Son for us. And God, we sit here today as a room full of people that we say we have centered our entire lives on that fact, but God, we confess and admit that so often we live unchanged. God, prompt us throughout this week to live faithful to you. God, your goodness is overwhelming. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord? We could go for hours and we would not be able to stop. We could do it our entire lives. God, that is how good you are. And then God, I just for a moment, we want to think about your goodness poured out to us directly. God, you are the great creator. We stand in this room today because you created us, Lord. Amen. And Father God, we have the opportunity then, as we live throughout our lives, we see your goodness poured out to us. God, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. God, the things that you've entrusted us with, may we see those and attribute them to your goodness, not to our own goodness, Lord, but to you. So God, we praise you again for our families, our friends, our children. God, you have poured out your goodness on us personally. God, you are at work in redeeming our hearts. The sin that's in us that can feel so overwhelming, the goodness of God can overwhelm that. And so God, I want to pray specifically for hearts in this room. There are people who are here today, God, in a crowd this size, it's guaranteed, who we've maybe been observing the goodness of God, we've seen it, we've been trying it, we've been listening to these messages, but we've never came to a place where we've responded to the goodness of God. Maybe it's a response of saying, yeah, I think that happened, but responded in such a way that, God, you transform our hearts and thus transform our lives. We ask that for people in this room this morning. God, that your goodness would overwhelm us. God, we confess our sin. We lay it before you. We are going to stop trying to achieve goodness on our own accord. And God, we say we desperately need you. Help us, oh Lord. Rescue us. God, I just ask as we sing this next song again, continue to bring to the forefront of our mind the way that goodness has been poured out in our lives. We love you. We praise you. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.